This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
Now that was an atrocious weekend for the Yankees. That's pretty bad. About as bad as it can get. They dropped 3 out of 4 in Tampa, a place where, frankly, they had an opportunity to just bury the Rays, and they did not take advantage of it. Instead, they gave them all kinds of life. From a 1-0 loss on Friday night against Blake Snell, 3 innings and then 5 relievers the rest of the way, and you can't score any runs, to splitting the doubleheader on Saturday to Sunday, and absolutely crushing loss, where there were some positive developments to really build on, as they had a 3-0 lead in the 7th inning and saw that get away from them and lose in walk-off fashion thanks to Michael Perez's game-winning single. 4-3 as Tampa takes 3 out of 4 from the Yankees. Oof. It is Savages in the Box. I'm Chris Carlin. Look, there are a few things that are positives to be taken out of the weekend, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But overall, this was a disaster of a weekend. It was an opportunity to really put yourselves in the driver's seat against the team that you most anticipate is going to give you the biggest challenge throughout the course of the year. Well, you anticipated that for a reason, and they showed it this weekend. The Rays, you can tell, take a little extra something out of beating the Yankees. Whether it's throwing up and in on DJ LeMahieu and pissing off the entire Yankee dugout and not apologizing for it, or just winning in walk-off fashion on Sunday and getting to James Paxton, who had been absolutely brilliant through 6 innings, and tagging him for 2 home runs, I'll tell you, it is one of those weekends, especially in a shortened season, that you might look back on as a missed opportunity for the Yankees. Now, of course, they're still fine. It's not a complete crushing weekend where it's going to end your season by any stretch. However, this gives a team a real sense of purpose in the race. If you could have taken a little bit of life out of them early in the season, I think that would have gone a long way. But unfortunately, you were unable to do that. And as a result, here we stand with the Rays only 2 games out. You weren't looking for a sweep, but it was certainly well within the cards to take 3 out of 4. And there's no doubt for the manager that the loss on Sunday was a brutal one.
Yeah, it definitely stings. Got a chance to really salvage the trip. And they put some good at-bats together to get back in the game, obviously. But, we obviously take away a lot of good from the way Pax threw the ball and kind of regroup in the off day and get ready for a homestand.
All right, well, we'll get to that in a second. First up, Aaron did not have his best day in terms of handling Paxton. Paxton, in the 7th inning, after being absolutely brilliant through 6, has his pitch count in the mid to high 70s. I don't remember the exact number. He ended with 87. But he falls behind to Martinez, 2-0, before giving up the double. Red flag number 1. First opportunity to get him out of the game. He then gets the pop out. And then Brasso, on an 0-2 pitch, gets a big fat one on the inner half. The ball was nowhere near where it was supposed to be. 2-run bomb. All right, red flag number 2. Get him out of the game. It's a 3-2 ball game at that point. And if you take him out, he's still got a chance to win it. And then you leave him in there for Lau. And Lau rips one off him. So, Aaron, are you second-guessing yourself at all with all this?
Well, I mean, I think you always do that a little bit. Felt like 85 or 90 with Pax today was where we were comfortable going. And then after he got the pop-up of Renfro for the first out after the double, I have to look it back, but it looked like he made a decent pitch that Brasso got the head to for the 2-run homer. And then I wanted him to face Lau then at that point, the lefty on lefty, I felt like, for his last hitter, and Lau got him.
He was done. He was clearly done, and it surprises me that when you have a pitcher in the mental state that he had been after his first couple of starts, and all you had to do was sit there and listen to Paxton after these games, and you'd understand that this guy was a little bit lost and needed to feel good about himself, and you leave him out there. I did not understand that one bit. Not in the least, and he got burned for it. Now, Paxton, for his part, not overly concerned by what happened, but it certainly took something out of it for him.
I think I'll take the positives. Attacking the strike zone, really, you know, confident with my breaking stuff and my changeup today. Threw some really good changeups. Definitely something to learn there in the seventh. You know, I just needed to execute my pitches there in the end.
Okay, but you didn't, and it was because you were clearly running out of gas at that point. I mean, it was plain as day to see, and that to me just looked like a manager trying to get a guy through an inning to get a nice number on the board, 7 innings, 2 runs, something like that. There was no need. There was just no need in that instance. So that's issue number one for Boone. Issue number two is the fact that the Yankees have not been dynamic offensively over the last few days. Okay, we talked about what happened Friday night, what happened on Sunday. Yeah, they got one of the doubleheader games, only scored 3 runs in the other game. And it's nothing to worry about overall. I think they're going to be fine, but offensively, they just haven't been that sharp. And when you lose Giancarlo Stanton again, it does sting. And look, the frustration level is there for Yankee fans, as it should be. This is highly predictable. This is not buying a lottery ticket. This is what we call a sure thing. Stanton's going to get hurt. And I feel for him because you can tell in everything that he has tried to do this offseason, and even talking about the weight loss last week, it is a guy that is trying to do everything that he possibly can to stay on the field. And he just can't do it. And it's a muscular thing. It's a hamstring. Those kind of things are going to happen with the guys of his body type, which leads me to point number three here. Guys, I don't want to, I'm certainly not wishing for this, but it's plain as day. And my biggest argument when we talk about the long term and who are the players the Yankees should be thinking about keeping for the long term, this is going to happen with Aaron Judge because he's the exact same body type and player as Stanton. It's not if, it's when. And it's going to be a muscular thing, and it's going to be a very similar situation. And guys who are of this size just continually are going to go through this. I hope he doesn't. But frankly, I have to count on him at some point spending some time on the DL. And I think that more than anything, Yankees have the day off on Monday. I'd maybe think about giving Judge even a little more rest and give him Tuesday off. Because now, with no Stanton and with Sanchez just absolutely lost, we'll get to that in a minute, I can't afford not to. I mean, Torres is showing signs, but I can't afford to lose Judge out of the lineup. I've got my mainstays right now. I've got LeMahieu, who just continues to hit and is hitting 400 for the season already. Other guys who have done a tremendous job are Shella with an OPS well over 9, closer to 1. I've got all of that, but I need Judge. I need him in the worst way. And the guy's been fantastic, but I have to do everything I can to be in preventative mode right now. And that to me means if I have a chance to get him 2 days off in a row right now after what just happened, I'm doing it. Maybe on the back end of this series, you could give Judge the day off on Wednesday or on Friday in the opener against the Red Sox at the stadium. Either way, they can't afford to have this be something that they're going to be fighting with here coming. And if you don't think the Yankees look at it that way, you're wrong. They understand all of the physiology of this. When you have guys who are built like that, these are the kind of issues you're constantly going to deal with. Stanton has had it throughout his career, And Judge, you could talk about the broken hand a couple of years ago, but you also have him susceptible to injury of muscles as well. So be smart and be ahead of it. Now, Gary Sanchez, a couple of things. Number one, the pitchers are going out of their way to talk about how great a job Sanchez is doing. And I really do wonder if that is a concerted thing, considering every year his defense is questioned. And immediately today, you could tell Boone was in a little bit of a defensive mind when it comes to Sanchez, because postgame he was asked about the wild pitch with Britton. And he says, well, yeah, because it's Gary Sanchez, it's going to be a big deal. Well, yeah, it is, because his defense is always at the forefront. And when you're as inconsistent an offensive player as Gary Sanchez has been, then you have to understand that you have to be doing something consistently right. I credit Boone, and the reason his players absolutely love him is that he goes out of his way to defend his guys at every turn, whether it's saying that Sanchez is close, and you can see it here, and you can see it there, and you can see it in this strikeout, and you can see it all over the place. He's not hitting 100 on the season. And these slumps are not short-term slumps. Like, you can see Gleyber Torres snapping out of it a little bit. He went 3-for-9 over the weekend. Sanchez hits the one home run in Philadelphia, and then maybe you start to get a little bit of momentum, and boom, he's 1-for-8 over the weekend. And that raises his batting average. It raised his batting average. Before, when I said he's not hitting 100, I apologize. He's hitting 103 right now, and he's got two extra base hits on the season. The home run and a double. And he's only got a total of 4 hits on the entire year. And this slump does not look like it's going away anytime soon. And I'm sorry, this has to be the last year of Gary Sanchez. You can't continue to chase this mystical figure. I mean, as it's ironic in a lot of ways that he was nicknamed the Kraken, because it is this mystical figure, right, that you don't even know if it exists or not. Sanchez, I've seen him hit the home runs. I've seen him do all of that. But when I see him go into these slumps, and you cannot count him for a month and a half, count on him for a month and a half, it's an absolute killer to your offense. And from that standpoint, this is something that you really have to look at in the future. I mean, Saturday, the pass ball was a bad one, and the wild pitch, it looked like he and Britton were not on the same page. I mean, Sanchez pointed to his eyes, and Britton admitted after the game, he's like, yeah, I wasn't sure if he couldn't see me or I couldn't see him, and they weren't right on the same page with the signs, and I'll have to talk to him about it. But he wasn't ripping them. But all of these pitchers have gone out of their way to talk about what a good job he's doing. I think that's intentional, and I think that's the manager wanting to pump Sanchez up for what he's doing defensively. I don't think he has taken his struggles from the plate into the field, but there are hints here and there that that happens. So, as far as Stanton is concerned, even though they haven't had the MRI done as of the taping of this podcast, he is at least going to be out for a week, and that's why they went ahead and put him on the IL. As far as him trying to stay healthy over the long term, Boone and company are trying. I just don't know how they're going to be able to get there.
This will be something that we continue to try and obviously help him avoid these situations moving forward. That's going to be a process. I feel like he can get there. Obviously, you know, having the injury that he had in spring training and then basically rehabbing that through spring and through quarantine and everything, you know, creates a little bit of a challenge, but you know, there's no doubt that I feel like, you know, physically he's in a much better place, and hopefully we can continue to make strides, not only moving forward in the immediate and the present and the rest of this year, but also into the off season and kind of doing things that will set him up to be healthy over the long term.
And again, it's Boone in a case of trying to back up his guy. And I understand that. And that's what you do. That's what you're supposed to do as a manager. So that's all good. But the reality of the situation is, I don't know how they're going to be able to do that. I don't think it's terribly realistic. Okay, one other thing to keep an eye on here the next few days is what they opt to do starting this Braves series to replace Stanton. Now, they put Tyro Estrada on the roster for Sunday, and they could have called Miguel Andujar back because of the injury, but they didn't. So now Andujar has to spend a total of 10 days down at the alternate site until he can be called back again, unless there's another injury. So Andujar won't be the guy that is brought up to start the Braves series. It sounds like they're going to bring another bat up. And there were a lot of people complaining on Sunday that they didn't bring up Clint Frazier. If they bring up Frazier, here is the point. He has to play. He has to play every day. Whether it's switching on and off with DHing with Aaron Judge, Frazier has to play because he's not a guy that you want to put in there and only use him occasionally off the bench. He's only pinch hit 7 times in his career. He's 1 for 7. And like any other true young player, he's a rhythm type player. He's somebody that's used to playing every day and can't afford not to. And he's not going to be like Mike Tauchman. This is why Mike Tauchman is not going to play every day, because he can actually sit for a day or two, come out either in the lineup or late in a game, come in for defense, pinch hit, whatever he needs to do, and can still deliver a hit. He doesn't have to be in a rhythm to really contribute to the Yankees. There's no need to call Frazier up if he's not going to play every day, because at least at the alternate site, he'll play every day. I still think it's possible that on Tuesday, he is the guy that gets the call to fill that spot. Tuesday, it will be Jay Happ. Yeah. Then it's Tanaka on Wednesday night. And I got to say, off of Friday, Tanaka was absolutely fantastic. 5 shutout innings, 1 hit. And Tanaka quickly becomes one of the most important players on the Yankees, a top 3 important player slash pitcher on the Yankees because of being able to be that lockdown number 2 guy. He only went 59 pitches the other night. They didn't want to go much further than that, and they are taking their time in building him back up. After he had thrown 50 pitches in the previous start, only 10 more, I wonder if they would bring him up to 70 or 75 in the start against the Braves on Wednesday. Then it's the Red Sox for 4. Gerrit Cole will open up that series on Friday. So the Yankees actually get a couple of days off this week, which is a break for them. The Rays come back next week, and you get a big dose of them here. You get 3 more in the middle of next week, and then you get them at the end of the month. And as I said earlier, as far as the division's concerned, as far as moving forward into the American League playoffs are concerned, the Rays are going to be a thorn in the Yankees' side. That is pretty clear. They just have to find ways now to overcome that, because the Rays are not a great offensive team. They just have to outslug them, and if the Yankees score 5 runs a game, like they're more than capable of doing, they should be able to beat the Rays each and every time. All right, that does it for this edition of Savages in the Box. Day off Monday, so we will be back after the game on Tuesday night and getting you set for everything on Wednesday as well. Carlin out.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.